KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
From KCRW in Santa Monica, I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner, and this is The Business.
So you still want to do the show business, and you think that you got what it takes? I mean, you really got to rap and be all that, but prepare yourself for the breaks. Check it out.
This week on The Business, are Hollywood celebrities irrelevant in an election where their candidate's a star? We talk to Ted Johnson, Variety's Wilshire and Washington blogger. Plus, Mommy and Me go to the movies. But first, it's the Hollywood News Caravan. Go nowhere, it's The Business from NPR. Despite the fact that CBS's share price has been cut in half in the last 12 months, CEO Les Moonves spent last week saying he's actually bullish on the company's advertising prospects over next year. True, CBS was a distant third during the much-watched coverage of the Democratic and Republican conventions. Quote, "We all wish the ratings were better," Moonves acknowledged to Broadcasting and Cable, adding, "Ratings notwithstanding, we're doing a terrific job." Moonves insists that the closeness of the race between Barack Obama and John McCain may actually boost CBS's ad revenues. Speaking at the annual Merrill Lynch Fall Media Preview last week, Moonves was especially excited about what McCain's pick of Sarah Palin for vice president would mean to the network's bottom line in ad dollars. Quote, "We think it's going to be more exciting and more vicious, and we like that." Elsewhere, the Abu Dhabi-based government-funded company Imagination, or Image Nation, guess it really depends on how you read it, has made its first major investment in Hollywood. They'll partner with the socially conscious production company Participant Media to the tune of $250 million, the first commitment of a planned billion-dollar investment in the business. This follows the Abu Dhabi government's half-billion-dollar investment in Warner Brothers Productions last fall. Now, the confusing twist here is that Participant has made movies that were controversial in the Middle East, films like The Kite Runner, Charlie Wilson's War, and most notably Syriana. The company insists the investment will have no effect on the selection of future films, though rumor has it that Participant has put Hezbollah, the musical, into turnaround. Meanwhile, that gasping sound you heard in Hollywood last weekend wasn't coming from the asthmatic Labor Day box office. It was, however, the piracy-phobic industry reacting to the announcement by Real Networks, the digital media company, of Real DVD. The $30 software program for Windows computers will allow users to easily copy their DVDs, down to the commentary and even the artwork on the box. Real Networks insists it will be awfully tough to copy the resulting Real DVD movie files. You'll be able to play them on up to 5 licensed PCs, but you can't watch them on your PlayStation, iPod, or iPhone. Finally, the cooler weather can only mean one thing: the start of award season. The Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, and, of course, the Fox Reality Channel Really Awards. Really. On October 11th, they'll hand out the third annual Golden Realitini to the favorite reality performer of the year, along with awards for favorite awkward moment, favorite altered state, favorite potty mouth, and of course, favorite tears. Fox Reality also announced that Mark Long of MTV's Road Rules will be on hand backstage to interview, quote, the evening's winners and losers. And that's the Hollywood News Caravan. Coming up next, the winners and losers in Hollywood's reality politics. This primary season stirred up an awful lot of Hollywood's liberal guilt, what with having to choose between the first female presidential candidate and the first black presidential candidate. Now that the general election is here, it's time for show business people to get off their therapist's sofa and open those checkbooks. Ted Johnson is Variety's managing editor and political blogger. Ted Johnson, welcome back to The Business.
Thank you for having me. Good to be here again.
So you went to both political conventions, both the Democrats and the Republicans. Of course, being a hopelessly biased member of the liberal elite media, were you treated differently at the Republican National Convention?
Well, only in the respect that I was covering a protest outside of the convention, and it turned into somewhat of a melee, and I got caught up and arrested, cuffed, fingerprinted, photographed, the whole works, along with, I think, about a dozen other members of the media.
Wow.
And we were taken away.
How did that go? How long were you in custody for?
About 4 hours. They did tell us, you know, we're not going to spend the night in the pen. We would be cited and released. It was just a matter of processing us through.
Uh-huh.
This was Thursday night, the last night of the Republican convention. And every night that week had ended in police arresting protesters and at times also arresting journalists. And the Writers Guild of America East earlier on Thursday had issued a statement condemning the arrest of journalists at the Republican convention and also at the Democratic convention. A lot of people forget that an ABC News photographer was actually arrested and even pinned down when he was on the street just covering donors walking into a fundraiser. I believe it was at the Brown Palace Hotel in Denver and taken away. And that actually did make some headlines that week.
Tell me about the Hollywood presence at the conventions. You know, who was there? What did they do? And were there any sort of star-studded, you know, parties to raise cash?
Absolutely. There was a huge Hollywood presence in the Democratic convention, and that probably is reflected by the huge lead that Barack Obama has in fundraising in Hollywood over John McCain. John McCain hasn't even hit the million-dollar barrier. Barack Obama is close to $5 million raised, and this is all according to the Center for Responsive Politics. So you had everyone there from Ben Affleck to Spike Lee to John Hamm, the star of Mad Men. I can't say that there was a lot of fundraising going on, you know, Hollywood fundraisers. But I think what this was if you had donated to the Obama campaign and you had been a big fundraiser to the Obama campaign, you got certain privileges in terms of access to great seats within the Pepsi Center and also Invesco Field, where he ended up. Now, the Republican convention was a lot more muted. There were not as many stars there. You had people like John Voight who were out there. And then you also had Harry Sloan, who's been a big fundraiser for McCain. He actually came in on—
We should point out he's the CEO of MGM.
CEO of MGM. He actually came into town, and his wife is actually a Republican delegate from California. So they were both there in St. Paul to watch McCain give his acceptance speech and Sarah Palin give hers.
Given that Obama is such a celebrity, does that sort of take away the raison d'etre for Hollywood? You know, that usually the function of Hollywood is to provide star wattage and sort of, you know, amp up the candidate who might be just some sort of guy in a suit. Does that sort of leave them, you know, gasping on the sidelines or unwilling to come out for fear of being upstaged?
Yeah, well, to some extent it does. There is a big contrast between the Obama campaign and the John Kerry campaign. You remember back in 2004, John Kerry campaigned with Bruce Springsteen and Leonardo DiCaprio. We're not seeing that with the Obama campaign. Instead, they're using these celebrities to raise money on their own. So you have George Clooney hosting a fundraiser for Barack Obama in Switzerland, or you have Scarlett Johansson, John Bon Jovi hosting these fundraisers for him where the candidate doesn't need to be present, but the stars themselves are a draw. But I don't think you're going to see a lot of joint campaigning of Barack Obama with Leonardo DiCaprio, Ben Affleck, because he can already attract a crowd on his own.
Is it simply a I don't need the help, or is it an active thanks but no thanks? Is this a conscious effort on the part of the Obama campaign to keep Hollywood a little bit, you know, we'll take the money, but don't make me have to be any more of a celebrity than I already seem to be. I need to connect with real Americans.
I think there's more restraint from Hollywood itself than the Obama campaign issuing some kind of an edict, no celebrities around him. You saw that at the Democratic convention. You know, Ben Affleck was really conscious of not saying anything political at all. He just talked about voter registration and contrast that to 2004 when he was at the conventions and he was much more outspoken. The Obama campaign also is changing the nature of the way that it's deploying celebrities. They're putting them into fundraisers as opposed to actually campaigning with the candidate, which is a big difference from 2004.
Mm-hmm. So instead of basking in the glow, they're sort of passing the basket for dough.
Exactly. And next week we'll see Barbara Streisand singing for Obama. He will be there, but again, it's not going to be out on the campaign trail. It's going to be actually in a fundraiser, which is a little different in that the press has limited access to these things, and generally they don't get as much publicity.
Do you think the reason for that is that they've learned a lesson from the 2004 campaign where John Kerry was seen as this effete liberal snob?
Yes.
Or is it that they just don't need them?
I think actually two things. One is that the Obama campaign has proven very skillful in how it deploys celebrities and when it deploys celebrities and where it puts them. And as the campaign focuses on some of these swing states and as the campaign focuses on those bread and butter economic issues, I don't think it's really on their radar screen to send some of them out there.
Who would be less qualified to connect with the common man's crisis than someone who lives in Bel Air, right?
It's by experience, you know, if given back in 2004. And actually, George Clooney kind of set the standard for a lot of people at the beginning of the campaign when he told Obama, you know, I will do whatever it takes to get you elected, including staying away from you.
If you're just joining us, we're talking to Ted Johnson, Variety's managing editor and political blogger. The celebrities may not be stumping for Obama, but at least one is thumping the other side. In an interview with APTV, Matt Damon came out swinging against Republican VP candidate Sarah Palin.
You do the actuary tables, you know, there's a 1 out of 3 chance, if not more, that McCain doesn't survive his first term, and it'll be President Palin. And it really, you know, we were talking about it earlier, it's like a really bad Disney movie. You know, the hockey mom, you know, oh, I'm just a hockey mom from Alaska and she's the president. And it's like she's facing down Vladimir Putin and, you know, using the folksy stuff she learned at the hockey, you know, rink. You know, it's absurd.
But unlike Mr. Damon, most of Hollywood is sticking to fundraising. Barbara Streisand will sing for Obama supporters at a Spielberg, Katzenberg, Geffen-hosted fete this week that's expected to raise millions. A smaller group beforehand will pay $28,500 a person to attend a dinner for the DNC. That, by the way, is the limit for individual gifts to the party. And last week, George Clooney held 2 sold-out Obama fundraisers in Geneva, Switzerland. Did George Clooney have to have these things there because he doesn't want all the attention that the celebrity fundraiser might get in the press? Or is it more a function of Hollywood's tapped out and exhausted, both legally as they've reached the caps, or emotionally, and that there's donor fatigue?
I think that it is mainly because he probably doesn't want all the publicity that would surround it had he held a fundraiser in New York City or had he held one in Los Angeles. There's also maybe an untapped pool of donors that are overseas, the kind of contingent of Americans living abroad that have proven to be overwhelmingly in support of Barack Obama. But I should also say that within the Hollywood community, there is kind of a new group to tap into, or actually I should say it's not a new group, but it's actually the same group because we're no longer in the primary campaign. People reached their legal limits long ago. Now we're in the general election where he can go back to all those same people and say, hey, you can max out again to me.
So, but given that they can raise the money, I'm curious if we had such a contentious primary where you had the Hillary camp and the Obama camp and it was sort of unprecedented in the amount of division and strife in Hollywood. You know, there were these editorials being written by Maureen Dowd about, you know, how David Geffen was sort of besmirching the Clintons and he was an Obama guy and there was all this vitriol. I'm wondering, you know, just because they can raise the money, are people emotionally tapped out or do they feel like, sure, I'll write another check?
You know, I might have said that a month ago that people have this kind of sense of donor fatigue. But I think that actually McCain's selection of Sarah Palin and the tightening of the race and even McCain having an edge in the polls has added kind of a sense of urgency within the entertainment community, this realization that they actually may lose this thing. As far as the Clinton donors are concerned, you do see some people who have been wavering a little bit, people like Haim Saban, the head of Saban Entertainment. He was.
We should point out he, of course, is the guy who brought us the Power Rangers.
Exactly, exactly.
All manner of cartoon shows.
Probably one of Clinton's number one fundraiser last year during her campaign, and he has had some conversations with Barack Obama, but he hasn't, you know, come out and said I fully endorse him. So he seems to be one of the holdouts. Although a lot of people around him think that he will definitely support Obama at some point.
Well, when? We've got six weeks left.
That's right. Time is running out.
What would his support mean in a dollar figure?
Well, he raised more than $1 million for Hillary Clinton. So I think that, you know, maybe we're looking toward that figure. Mm-hmm. There's no way of knowing because, as you said, this race is really coming to its closing weeks. So there's only so much time left to actually raise that money.
Speaking of raising money, let's talk about John McCain in Hollywood. Who is coming out for him? I mean, you know, certainly, as you pointed out, at MGM, the CEO, Harry Sloan, has been, you know, true believer from day one. Is there anyone else who's come out?
Sure, there is. In fact, a lot of McCain donors are really energized. They really have this notion that after 8 years of anti-Bush sentiment within the industry, John McCain has almost given them license to be more public with their support. So McCain actually had a fundraiser about 2 weeks ago at the Beverly Hilton that drew people like Kelsey Grammer and Robert Duvall and John Voight and John Cryer, a lot of names that have supported, I think, Republicans in the past, yet they make no bones about their backing of this candidate. I think that there's a sense that McCain, because of his ties to the entertainment industry and his respect within the entertainment industry, it's not going to be as much of a black mark as it would with George Bush. In other words, they can go to a cocktail party and people won't, you know, back away from them when they say for John McCain.
How do the companies give? I mean, is there a way to harness these sort of media conglomerates in the service of either candidate?
Well, the companies give through their political action committees is the only way that they can give. And they have a history of hedging their bets and actually giving to both candidates. And I think that this by November, we'll see that bear out.
Of the issues that matter most to these companies, are they more concerned with sort of the crackdown on speech and restrictions on what you can push the envelope on television and the fines that inevitably rack up when you have a wardrobe malfunction? Or are they more concerned with we want to own as much stuff as possible, we want to have ownership regulations relaxed? What's driving the appeal?
I think that the companies just want to be with the winner. I think there's a sense from people I've talked to, there's a sense that McCain and Obama on the issues that actually matter of importance to the entertainment industry really are not that far apart. So on issues like freedom of speech, on issues of indecency, on issues of violence, on issues of media ownership, that there is a sense that they may not be all that different. Now, whether that is actually true and whether that's actually going to be borne out by the time of November is an open question. Because, for example, if you take Obama and ask, you know, well, how does he stand on TV violence? Obama is quick to say, well, I'm for freedom of speech, yet I'm critical of the way that violent movies are marketed. That's about the same way that McCain will respond to that question. So I also think that on media ownership, you can almost go either way with Obama and McCain. Obama probably a little more strident in terms of having less consolidation of the media than maybe McCain is. But you also can make the argument for McCain. You know, McCain is for something called cable a la carte programming, which is a pretty controversial issue that the cable companies just don't want. So a lot of people have the opinion that, you know what, it's going to all come down to who they appoint to the FCC and who they appoint to the FTC, these different commissions, as opposed to what they're saying right now.
Coming up after a short break, more with Ted Johnson, Variety's managing editor and writer of its Wilshire and Washington blog. You're listening to The Business from NPR.
We'll be right back.
This is The Business, and I'm Claude Brodesser-Ackner. We're talking with Ted Johnson, Variety's managing editor and political blogger, about Hollywood and the upcoming presidential election. And now for the irony portion of the show. I want to ask you, as we speak, sitting here in Santa Monica this morning, taping this, in Wilmington, North Carolina, a switch is being flipped on HD TV. That's high-definition television, and it tends to make folks like you and me look like we've been, you know,
that's right,
left out in the sun for a couple
a
days.
A little older.
Yeah, a little older, a little more saddlebaggy. John McCain was, of course, the chief proponent of HDTV. And given the irony that McCain was worked so hard to get
yes,
HDTV
right.
on.
A great question.
He's also the oldest candidate ever to run for office. I'm wondering how you think it might affect the debates and if any considerations being given to that by either side.
Oh, I'm sure. And I think probably the first thing that the McCain campaign is probably has on their minds right now is just don't make him orange like Al Gore looked in 2000. Just
he looked like he'd
eaten, overdo it. Yeah.
He had hepatitis or something.
Yeah. It was totally bizarre. And it was obviously mocked on Saturday Night Live afterward. I think that they are going to start very soon this campaign of lowering expectations for the candidate. You're going to start to see it. You're going to start to see these words, from the campaign itself, you're going to start to see, the candidate, he's never been really good in debates. He's never really been good in speeches. He doesn't look that great on screen. There's going to be this lowering of expectations. They'll be the same thing with Sarah Palin, you know, to some extent, especially they're going to trumpet, you know, all of Joe Biden's intelligence and intellect. So it's kind of a game that they will be playing until we get to the first debate on the 28th.
Well, we'll keep an eye peeled. We got to leave it there. Ted Johnson is managing editor at Variety and Daily Variety. He also writes the Wilshire and Washington blog for the paper. Ted, thanks for being on The Business.
Thanks for having me.
A screaming baby at the movies is a nightmare. But put 50 screaming babies in a theater and you've got a dream come true, if you're new parents. And for exhibitors, it could be good business. Our associate producer, Darby Maloney, has more.
When I was pregnant, people were always telling me to see lots of movies because once my baby was born, I wouldn't get out to the theater for like 18 years. But in the 4 months since my daughter Sydney was born, I've actually seen the Sex and the City movie, Get Smart, and Mamma Mia, and I saw them all the first week they opened. I should say Sydney and I saw them, because there are a couple of theaters around L.A. showing matinees for moms with babies. The setup is basically this. One weekday morning, around prime nap time, theaters show first-run films to the stroller set. They leave the house lights up, take the volume down, they skip the previews, and
there's a diaper-changing table in the auditorium to make it convenient. You're not changing it on a chair or something like that. I mean, I think that's good for both of us.
Mark Bastian manages The Bridge, a national amusements multiplex in Los Angeles that's run their Baby Pictures program since 2003, where they actually feature a full-time usher.
You guys want some more light? Is that okay?
Yet even though I'm living in a city both full of diehard movie fans and new parents, there are only a few theaters here doing Mommy and Me movies. Other than that National Amusements Theater, L.A.-based Pacific Theaters has run Monday Morning Mommy movies, complete with stroller parking, at another four theaters. Mari Garcia-Porter is the director of marketing for Pacific Theaters.
We began to get a number of calls saying that that they missed going to the movies now that they'd had their infant and wanted to see if we were interested in having such a program that, I guess, began in New York at another theater.
Now, the Mommy and Me movie experiment hasn't lasted everywhere. Mann Theaters, a boutique Southern California chain, canceled their stroller matinees because of, quote, lack of support for the program. And Lowe's Theater's Real Moms program, that's R-E-E-L, was canceled in 2006 when the AMC theater chain bought Lowe's.
Unfortunately, attendance for the Real Moms program was very light.
Justin Scott is AMC's Director of Corporate Communications.
With Real Moms, shows often only operating with less than 20 guests in attendance in an auditorium.
Part of the problem may just be awareness. Mark Bastian manages The Bridge.
I don't know if a lot of people know about it. How do you guys advertise, get the word out?
We advertise on our website about it. It's also in the paper each week. So pretty much the same way we advertise, you know, all of our films.
Of course, if you don't know they exist, you wouldn't go looking for them. And if you Google mommy movies, the first result is a XXX porn site. Pacific Theaters is the second hit on that search, and while they also list their screenings in the paper and on their website, their main PR is really mommy word of mouth. Mari Garcia Porter.
You know, they took flyers to their mommy and me classes, their baby yoga classes, and really helped us promote the program. And so we really were able to launch quite strongly and expanded quite quickly to other locations.
But even if you can find the theaters that are doing these special screenings, their selection of movies doesn't always seem to make sense. Imagine a theater filled with moms and toddlers, the aisles strewn with baby gear, kids napping in car seats, parents walking the aisles, rocking their babies back and forth, and then imagine teenagers being slashed to death on the screen.
There were a couple of horror films, I think, that came out about 2 years ago. For some reason, there was a large popularity for horror films, and we had limited choices on what to show, and so we showed a horror film, and we heard back quite loudly that parents don't want to bring their child to see a horror movie.
I asked Mark Bastian of National Amusements how he chooses the movies for their Baby Pictures program.
We really try to look at what's the new film this week, what comes out, and what do we think, I'm a father, what do I think would work best for families? And sometimes there's not the best choices, but we try to make the best choice of what the films are that come out.
But with the emphasis on new releases, their choices are limited. And even films that seem family-friendly sometimes aren't. Sydney loved the theme to Get Smart. But there was just too much going on in the action sequences for her and the other kids in the room. Still, it seems if the theaters can solve these problems, expand the marketing, and choose films wisely, Mommy and Me movies could sell a decent amount of tickets to otherwise sparsely attended matinees around the city. I spoke to one mom outside the Baby Pictures screening of Mamma Mia at the Bridge.
Would you normally come to a movie at 11 o'clock on a Tuesday, pre-baby?
No, definitely not.
How many movies would you go to, say, in a month before you had your child?
Maybe one. Two on a good month, but never more than one or two.
So you're actually going to more movies now?
Definitely, yes. I'm seeing all of the new releases, yeah. Exactly. I think my husband's a little jealous because we never see any as a couple anymore. It's just me and the baby.
For the business, this is Darby Maloney and Sydney Abigail.
There are links to Mommy and Me movies around Southern California at kcrw.com/thebusiness. And that's the business. Matt Holzman produced and edited today's program with production assistance from Ray Guarna. Our associate producer is Darby Maloney. You can listen to this or any past program online anytime at kcrw.com/thebusiness. You can podcast the show, share it with a friend, or embed it on your blog with the click of a button from our new media player at kcrw.com. And you can podcast the show through iTunes. Our email address is thebusiness@kcrw.org. The business is produced by KCRW Santa Monica and distributed by National Public Radio. I'm Club Redessa Rackner. We'll see you next week on The Business.
KCRW sponsors include Make It Universal and Rotten Tomatoes, presenting Scene on Screen with Jacqueline Coley, a brand new podcast about the people at NBC Universal and the movies that define them. Available wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.